It is time to recap McCook's City Council meeting number one for the month of March. Here this morning in our studio, City Manager Nate Schneider. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, Rich?
Excellent. Excellent. The mayor is in the house. Mayor Linda Taylor, how are you?
I'm wonderful today. Thank you.
You bet. It's kind of a spring. Now, today kind of feels like a March day, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. Kind of the beginning of March. Yeah. Coming in like a, it's not really a lion, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of a baby cub lion, I
guess. But it kind of feels like that a little bit.
Yeah,
time,
yeah. Though. It's nice to have a little bit of drizzle.
And, yeah.
I mean, we'll take whatever I guess we can get.
Any moisture is good moisture.
We know that there's the possibility of moisture at least.
Yes,
so.
Yes. Let's get right to the agenda from last night, guys. And anything first, announcements and recognitions last night?
Well, we began with congratulating Kyle Potthoff and crew. We got a $300,000 tree rebate grant, which is going to be wonderful because we have 2 years that we're going to be able to take some of our dead inventory trees that we have gone out. And thanks to Bruce Hoffman, our arborist, he really helps a lot. They went out and they looked at the trees and determined which ones need to be removed. And so in a 2-year process, we'll be able to remove trees and replace trees. And so that's exciting for the community because that's what keeps us looking really fresh and new.
Bruce and Debbie Hoffman out of Common Sense have been doing this for years and years. Great person to have kind of helping out.
Definitely, huh? Yeah. No, McCook is very fortunate to have the Hoffman family there to assist and help. They've just got a very broad-based knowledge, and they're always willing to work and help with any city issue that we have. And so very fortunate. I tell you what, that grant proposal, that was a doozy. And everybody that worked on that grant application, they deserve a pat on the back. That was a very large award, and we were fortunate to get our fair share. So, looking forward to being able to hopefully remove some trees that need to be removed and find some proper trees to fill their spots. And I think it'll make our community look much better and more vibrant, and so it's a good thing.
You bet it is. Anything else in announcements, recognitions? Is that it last night?
Kyle had also wanted to make sure that we expressed our condolences as a city. Lynn Kinney had passed away here on Sunday, and at the city of McCook, we're family, regardless of department, and we wanted to make sure that Rick and his family, they know that we're there for them. So Kyle just wanted to make sure that that was stated, and Lynn was a great person. We're really going to miss her.
No question about it. We had many, her and I had many interviews over the years and school-related stuff, and that was a shocker
to many. Yeah, that was a surprise. Yeah, yep. Way too young. The other thing I had mentioned last night, we do have a planning commission meeting scheduled for next Monday. I think it's the 9th, if I remember correctly, off the top of my head, at 5:15. And we're going to continue to move forward with our zoning regulation updates. Actually, that's what Barry, Leanne, and Tara are working on right now while I'm here at the radio station, so that way we can get that out. And then also we have a special exception request that we'll take up at that time as well.
All right. Anything else? That was it? Announcements, recognitions?
That was it, yes.
All right. Presentations. Presentation from Miller & Associates and details outlining the EPA's mandated lead service line inventory and replacement as well as funding options.
Yeah, so this is a prime example of an unfunded mandate that the city or the cities in, I guess, the entire United States will be responsible to make sure that we comply with the EPA regulations regarding lead line replacement, which must occur by 2037. And so the state of Nebraska received $160 million from the EPA to help assist with lead line removal. Typically, when we're dealing with our line removal projects or updates, we're only dealing with projects that would be considered inventory of the city of McCook. So your water mains, everything that would lead up into the curb stop, those are our responsibilities. But for this particular EPA mandate, we are also required to go ahead and make the improvements. So if there's lead line on the opposite side of the curb stop, we have to make sure that we replace it all the way to the meter, which in many cases, the meters are actually located in the home. So that'd be actually the asset of the customer. But I think there's concern that the customers won't proceed to go ahead and remove it. And so they're making it a mandate that the cities do that. It's a very expensive proposition. And there's not a lot of assistance out there aside from the money that the EPA has given to the state of Nebraska. That money is first come, first serve. Our understanding, I think that there's already $70 million that's been spoken for. And so we're already down to $90 million that will be available for lead line replacement projects, which means we need to make a decision really quickly, you know, on our end. It's going to have to be done one way or the other. And obviously, it's going to mean that they're going to have to be adjustment to rates. Now, the one good thing about this project is it does flow through the SRF program. That's the state revolving fund. So those are loan dollars. But in this particular tranche of money, 60% will be loan forgivable. And so basically, it's grant money. The remainder that we would have to take out to go ahead and complete the project, that 40% for the actual physical removal and whatnot, that would be a 0% interest loan that we could pay back over a period of time. And so I guess this is our chance to go ahead and make sure that we get that loan forgiveness, plus we're going to be able to go ahead and take out that low interest loan. The other thing that's part of this is we have to pothole properties to make sure that we are identifying the lead lines. That's an additional cost that's going to fall on the city of McCook. We can get up to 10% forgiveness. I don't know if it was a rebate or exactly how they awarded that. But we know no matter what, there's going to be a cost associated with this. On our end, since it's a mandate, we really do have to move forward with it. What we're going to do, we had Chris Miller and David Blau make a presentation last night, basically to explain the process. They did a good job. They had an illustration to explain, you know, what is typically city inventory and assets, what would typically be considered the homeowner, and how this differs from what we typically do. But again, there really isn't a lot of wiggle room, because if it's a mandate and it has to be done by 2037, we really do need to go. Now, we did our original inventory and completed that in October of 2024, but we still need to complete additional properties to make sure that there aren't lead lines. So that'll be something that we're going to have to do through the potholing process. It's very expensive. The potholing is expensive. There aren't a lot of companies that do that. You know, we have a service crew, a distribution line crew of three people. So this is going to have to be something that gets contracted out, because it gets really complicated, you know, when you start talking about trying to maintain the system that we already have. And then on top of it, trying to go ahead and do the lead line replacement. There's no way you can do that with three people. And Pat last night was talking about how Kearney has hired additional people to go ahead and fill the void. I think Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island, those are the three communities I know that have been already kind of moving forward with this, which would make sense because they've got resources that other communities don't have. But for us, we don't have the same luxury of just hiring more people. We're going to have to go a different direction, because we can't create any additional FTEs on our end without really creating issues for our budget. So we're looking at contracting the work out. If we do contract that work out, you know, it would take a period of time. This isn't going to happen overnight. It's going to take a long time to get everything identified and replaced. But we need to start soon if we're going to go ahead and move forward with it, which Chris and David are saying, better do it. I mean, if you don't do it, then when 2037 comes around and nothing has been completed, you're going to have some serious problems. And so you know, I think the city of McCook is a little bit ahead of the game compared to where other communities are. There are some communities that didn't complete their inventory, or they said, we don't know. We don't know basically is assumed as being that property has lead lines. So probably not the best way to try to address the issue. But also it is a very time-consuming process. And so I understand, you know, the frustrations. We've been kind of frustrated by this just because it's a lot for a small town like McCook to handle on top of a wastewater treatment plant project, on top of a water treatment plant update project. But it's a mandate, and we have to make sure that we're covering that mandate. So we'll continue to move forward with it. I think our next step is to bring Steve McNulty. He's with SRF. Have him come in and give a presentation to the council. He can answer any questions on the technical side, make sure that everybody feels comfortable with it, and then we can determine exactly what direction to go. You know, one thing that Chris had mentioned was be conservative, which I think what he was saying is make sure you ask for enough to cover your costs, because you can always turn that money back over to the state of Nebraska and they can reallocate it without us having any kind of penalty for asking for more than what we actually use. So we just need to be smart. We need to make sure that we're covering the entire cost. And then we just need to, you know, commit to moving forward is the direction that we're going to have to go. But again, you know, you are talking about a project that is going to add to the costs or expenses of the water department. And the only way to go ahead and make those adjustments, you know, and also account for the other things that we're doing is to look at rates, you know. And so we'll continue to look at rates and do our best to try to be mindful of the ratepayers. But also, you know, when federal government tells you you jump, you know. And so and we found that out in McCook back in the early 2000s, you know, with the water treatment plant and whatnot. And so we need to make sure we're doing things the right way. We need to make sure that we're you know, complying with the law, and that's what we're going to do.
Linda, any comments?
You know what? We're just going to work really hard to make for sure that it doesn't impact our ratepayers. However, with this mandate, it's going to be a lot of money that we have to use to comply with. So we will do our best to do it in the most responsible way.
All right. Next up, a proclamation designated in the month of March as Problem Gambling Awareness Month.
We were kind of joking. We thought that it should have been before the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, this actually came from, I don't remember the group, but it came in right after the Super Bowl, and I kind of chuckled. It's like, well, okay, I guess, you know, we'll continue to run it. But hopefully it has some impact, and maybe next year for the Super Bowl, people will
right.
think, yeah, maybe we don't put money on I'm trying to think of who lost this year. It was bad. I know Seattle. Who did Seattle drill?
The Patriots.
Patriots, yeah. I won't put money on the Patriots. So, but anyway, yeah, that passed. There was nobody there to actually present on behalf of the proclamation, but it's important nonetheless.
Exactly right. Consent agenda, anything pulled for discussion there?
No, we didn't pull anything for the consent agenda. Everything went right through.
All right.
And I do want to note, we do talk about nuisance abatement and problem resolution team projects that we do. Here a few months ago, the city of McCook undertook the process. After West Central had designated a particular property as a nuisance abatement property, the city of McCook actually set out to do the work on this property to clean it up. And it was a very, very large project. And we can't do these things without actually assessing against those properties. And so last night we assessed the work, the value of the work, the time that our people put towards the project. We assessed that back to the property itself, you know, so that was a $5,650, you know, assessment against the property. And so again, you know, it's important that people take care of their own properties. You know, it shouldn't be a city obligation, but if you look at the property now, it looks much better, much cleaner. You know, our guys went in there, they got the job done as fast as they could. I would implore people to please take care of your own property so it's not a responsibility of everybody else in town to fix your mess. So I guess with that, I just want to make sure that people realize that we do have the power to levy special assessments if we go in and do the work. And if we do the work, you know, we will go ahead and levy those assessments. So it's not like you're going to, you know, get off scot-free for us having to go ahead and provide the services to take care of your problem.
Regular agenda, and as I get to the update regarding the youth sports complex, Mr. Potoff just sent me a picture of the, did you see this yet?
Yeah.
Ballparks and everything from aerial, from a drone, I take it. And,
yeah, no, it's
wow.
amazing. Yeah,
wow.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It pops,
yes.
Doesn't it?
We are inviting everybody to come out March 11th at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You can come out and see what's going on out there at the sports complex. You will be amazed. It is wonderful.
Yeah, this is okay. This is a. I'm looking at a picture. This is the main.
So that's the fourplex. So
yeah.
So that's the intermediate baseball field.
Okay.
So we got a surprise. It was at the beginning of last week. Actually, I take it back. It was the Friday before last Monday, and I'd gotten a phone call from Eric at Mammoth, saying, hey, because of some of the winter storms that we've got just east of McCook, it's going to make it hard for us to start laying turf in certain areas or continue to lay turf in certain project areas. Is it okay with you if we come out to McCook at the beginning of last week, last Monday, to go ahead and start turfing the intermediate field? And we said, absolutely. Whenever you get a chance, come on out. So Tuesday morning of last week, the turf crew, they showed up. They had rolls of turf. They started going, and what you saw in that picture, that has occurred in less than 1 week. So they turfed the entire 300-foot intermediate baseball field, and then the field to the south of there is a 225-foot softball field. They have that turfed as well, too. And obviously, there's still more work that has to be done, but when you look at that, it's just amazing. And we spoke with Eric yesterday, and he thought maybe there'd be one more field, too, that they're going to be able to get to as well. They're just moving fast. You know, they said once they started turfing, you won't believe how quickly it moves. Mm-hmm. And they weren't kidding. I mean, that fourplex, it looks totally different once you start to go ahead and put that turf down, because you've got the aggregate, you know, and you saw the piles of rock and whatnot mm-hmm. out there. And so everything's gray and kind of dull. Once they started putting down that turf, I mean, my goodness gracious, it really, really started to scream baseball and softball.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're starting to see, you know, the actual end results, you know, what this is going to look like when it's all said and done, and it's very, very exciting. On top of that, this past couple of weeks we've been talking shade structures. We're writing a grant through the AARP to try to go ahead and offset some of the costs for shade structures, so that way people are able to go ahead and enjoy ball games without having the sun beating down on them. We also are going to ask the council to consider utilizing the community development funds to go ahead and put up it's a hexagonal shade structure. And so we think that'd be a good use of the funds that we have set aside for community betterment. talked about the turfing. We also started talking again about, now that the turfing is being completed, we're looking at that NDWEE grant to go ahead and offset some of the costs on the turf. That could be $500,000 per field, which would be significant savings if we can go ahead and receive that. And so we started going through, checking the criteria, just making sure that we have everything being set up the right way, so that way we're not acting in contradiction to what we have to do. And I think we're sitting good right now. There was a requirement that the tires that were being used for the rubber, that they came from Nebraska. We double-checked on that, and they have been, and so that's a good thing. Eric Munholland from Mammoth was on the phone yesterday. We were talking about water out to the facility, making sure that we've got every inch covered. We will have to go ahead and run a temporary line coming from the northwest. It'll be a 2-inch temporary line that we're going to make sure that extends all the way to the northeast side of the sports complex, so that way we can have water there to get the grass properly covered. And then, like Mayor Taylor said, you know, we're excited because we're going to get to go ahead and have people come out on the 11th at 4 o'clock and get a chance to take a look at it. They can go step on the turf. They can feel the turf. It's just really, really neat. And we want to bring as many people out. This isn't the official rolling of the turf. I think we're going to save that for the championship baseball field. But we want people to get to see that, because when you see the color, I think that it really changes your perspective of the project, and it really does kind of become reality. So, yeah, we're looking forward to the 11th, and hopefully we get a good turnout. I know that Sarah's going to blast that on the Chamber e-blasts, and hopefully we can get a lot of people out there to take a look at it.
Hopefully we have a good weather day for that one.
Yeah, I think it's Sarah told me. She watches – she is the master of the extended forecast, and so she told me, she said, well, it's not going to be super warm. She said like 45. I'm like, hey, I'll take that at the beginning of March. So hopefully that doesn't keep people away. But
you guys watch a lot of tennis meets in 45-degree weather.
Oh, heck, we've done 30-degree tennis meets. So,
right.
I mean, that's shoot. I remember playing against Gothenburg a couple of years ago, and I don't know, with the wind, I think that the wind chill was like 20 degrees.
Yeah.
Kept on playing. So I don't think that probably is going to keep too many people away. But, you know, it's just neat. And I think that once you get out there and you take a look at it, I think it's important for people. And we've told everybody, just give us a call if you want to go out and take a look at it. Because until you stand in the middle of the facility, you really don't understand, just the size and the scope of the project. And I'm not just talking about the recreational component. I'm talking about the lots available for commercial. We were going to have our appraisal consultant coming in today, but there was some concern about the weather. And so we're going to save that until next Monday. We'll meet with her then. But then you think about the residential opportunities that are out there, both on the apartment side and on the single family side. I mean, I would encourage people to go out and take a look, because this is the game changer that McCook has needed for years and years, and it's becoming a reality, and it's really exciting when you take a look at it.
I tell you, we got two major projects. We're sandwiched in between baseball and, of course, the Wagners down here with what they're going. Baby's going up in a hurry, too.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, I can't believe how fast they're moving, those two projects, the development, public, private, that spurs on more development. You know, the one cool thing about our project, they actually just completed extending the sewer underneath the highway on the north side of the sports complex. And now you've got an unimproved lot over on the west side that is completely bare and could become whatever it is that you want it to become. Getting sewer out to the highway, it changes everything for McCook, because now you've got water and sewer there, and now you can start extending to the north, which has always been the thing that stopped McCook from growing in the past. So, but you look at the Barnett's project, they had all those outbuildings got tore down over this past week. There's a lot of things that are happening, and hopefully people are seeing it, because I'm excited, when I drive around McCook and I see all the cool things, whether it's the Y or the college project over the east on the east campus side. You look at the Roots building. You look at what the hospital is going to be doing with their new project. All the things are kind of coming. It's coming fast. Wastewater treatment plant project. I know that's not really exciting, but that's going to be that's going to be happening this year. So. We just kind of have been putting the financing part of it together here. We actually had a meeting yesterday, and we're going to continue to meet to make sure that we've got all of the ducks lined up in a row to do it the right way. But the industrial park expansion project, you just look at all the things that are going on, and I don't know if I remember a time at North Point. You look at those homes up in North Point, they're going to be starting the final phase, which will be T Street, and that bring another 11 homes. Things are just moving fast, and there's been a lot of work that's been put into it, to get to this point. Took a few years to go ahead and get us to that point where we could start doing these projects, but now that they're starting to move, it feels like it's almost a tidal wave, and that momentum, it just is so encouraging. And I hope that everybody feels that, because I'm really encouraged with the direction McCook is going, and hopefully it stays this way for a long time.
Pretty cool, isn't it, Linda?
It is wonderful. We were down at League of Municipalities, and I couldn't walk into a meeting without somebody coming up and saying, oh, you're from McCook. How come there is so much going on down there? We hear about it all the time, and we're living some exciting times.
Yes.
It's great to be a person that lives in McCook right now.
Anything counts or comments? Was there anything?
I don't recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Yeah, I don't recall. I think there might have been. I think there was a shout out to Tara on the grants. I think that there was. Was that you, Mayor
yes.
Taylor?
Yeah. Yes. I'll tell you what. The people work so hard on these grants, and you look at all of the information they have to provide and get it just right and send it in, and they're in competition with a lot of other communities. Mm-hmm. So whenever we get a $300,000 grant for trees or whatever, that's exciting because that's money coming back to McCook that is not coming directly from our taxpayers.
Well, I think I remember when we were here after the auditor's presentation, either at the beginning of February or the end of January, they go through and they show the comparisons between McCook and communities that are similar to us. And they were showing the amount of grant funds and other funds, whether it's donations or whatever, a community receives relative to these other communities that we're being compared to. And I want to say McCook was like $200 per capita over what the benchmark was or the average was for our communities. And that's just a testament to the hard work that people are putting into the grants. The council, you know, they're pushing these grants through. You know, all these grants, they get vetted by the council beforehand, or most of them do, I should say. There's some small ones, but we make sure that we get the proper approval so that way we can show the granting entities that we've got the necessary approval to move forward. There's a lot going on right now, and we're looking for money under every rock. You know, it doesn't matter whatever it is, but that's what it takes to pull this off. I mean, for us to be able to do this, we've got to do that. So I know some people sometimes get, you know, worried, well, you know, those are federal grant dollars and you know, why do you take those? Well, if you don't take that money, then someone else is going to take that. So why wouldn't you go ahead and avail yourself to it? So we're doing that. And I think that it's going to pay dividends for McCook long term.
March 11th coming up. That's next, a week from tomorrow, March 11th.
We're doing it on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
We didn't want to have any sporting events, and we wanted to make sure we did it before church. So right. That's why we chose that time to do it.
What's that, 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
So hopefully, I'd love to see some kids out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, get some kids out there. They can take a look at it. They can walk on the field and feel the turf. And that's where they're going to be playing. You know, and I think they're going to have a blast out there. But I think just to go out there and get that feel and that experience, you know, when you stand at home plate on that intermediate baseball field and you look towards the outfield, it's just a beautiful view. You know, and you look that direction. I just can't imagine what that would feel like when you're a seventh grader, you know, stepping up to the plate, you know, for the first time looking out that direction. I mean, it just would be, to me, it would just give me chills, I think. It just is really neat. It's going to be a fantastic experience for our kids and every child in Southwest Nebraska, Western Nebraska, and just can't wait for the project to be done.
So as you say, that timetable, has the timetable been moved up with the lack of winter around here and the more
I never tell. After the swimming pool debacle, I will never say the timetable has been moved up. So September of 2026 is what we're shooting for.
Okay.
So yeah. I don't want to say anything that's going to get people's hopes up, but but we have contracts that say September of 2026 is when both the sports complex and the infrastructure should be done. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't had much winter, but you never know. In the month of March, it might drop on us.
Yeah. So you never know. Unfortunately, we're used to the unexpected.
Right.
So
exactly.
I don't like to be the Debbie Downer, but sometimes things happen, and you just have to accept it. So.
Planning Commission meeting next Monday, and then the next regular meeting on the 16th.
Correct.
All right. Anything else?
Nothing City matters? I can think of. Nope.
All right. Great stuff this morning, City Manager Nate Schneider. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
Good to see you, Mayor Taylor.
Thank you.